I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 10 here tonight, verse 38, just a few verses here at the end of the chapter here of Luke 10. And I'd like to talk about Mary and Martha here tonight and just to look at their personality, these are characters, and what we can learn from them. And Luke chapter 10, verse 38, "And it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Let's pray here tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you for what we'll look at here tonight, and guide our thoughts here as we look in your word. I thank you, Lord, that you're a great and gracious God. And Father, as scripture has been given to us for our encouragement, our strengthening, I pray that we could learn from the ones who have gone before us through the word of God, that, Father, we might be better sons and daughters of Almighty God to serve you and love you and honor you. So bless us here tonight as we gather around your word. Help me honor your son, Jesus Christ, and bring glory to your name. May everything be done to the praise and honor and glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Now, in this first verse here, we have Martha received him into her house. And I'd just like to ask a question. If you knew Jesus was coming to your house, what would you do?
Make it spotless.
Make it spotless, okay. Okay, sure. Okay, that's, yeah. If you knew Jesus was coming to your house, and here's Martha, and she invited Jesus in, he responded, what would you do? Okay, Joanne says, make it spotless. Lots of food, okay, spotless, lots of food, okay. Anything else? What would you do?
Invite people,
okay, sure. That'd be something tremendous to have, yes, okay.
Be ready at the door to receive them.
Okay, we're ready there to greet him, very much hospitable, okay. What else would you do if you knew he was coming to your house? Anything? I don't think he'd want to help you remodel your bathroom, huh?
Maybe some tips.
Wash feet, he might.
It'd just be incredible. I don't know.
It'd be a real honor, wouldn't it?
You'd have to sit and think about that.
Right, yeah. You know, I think for some of us, we might feel a little overwhelmed. Like, whoa, you know, coming to my house? Well, keep that thought in mind. We'll revisit later on this evening. So anyway, Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered or distracted or troubled about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? Hear those words. Dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Better, therefore, that she should help me. Now, what can we learn from Martha? Give me some qualities of her personality, of how she's wired or put together here. How does she see things?
She can't do it all.
She can't do it all. Okay. All right. She feels, would overwhelmed be a good word at this point in her life? Overwhelmed. Okay. Now, use your sanctified imagination. If she's in the kitchen and things aren't going very well for her. Now, ladies, have you ever been in the kitchen and things don't go very well for you? Have that ever happened? Can anybody share just something that's happened to you in the kitchen that hasn't gone well? Would anybody want to be humble enough to share what happened? Why are you thinking about that? I'll share a story. I heard a pastor say one time he was invited to a house for dinner, and he went, and he had to go up these steps, and it was a hot summer day. Screen door was open. He got up to the top of steps, and right at that turn, he heard the lady from back of the house say, oh no, I burned the steaks. So he's standing there at the door and he goes, So he is invited in and he said to the lady, he says, are we having steaks tonight? She goes, well, we are. He goes, can you burn mine? I like my steaks really burned. And she goes back in the kitchen, praise the Lord. And he said, it was heavily baptized in ketchup, but I got it down. So do those things happen? Anybody want to share? Did you ever have anything like that happen in your kitchen? Anything that?
I know Thanksgiving one time we had got a turkey and it was supposed to be thawed out and it wasn't.
Oh, frozen.
So Oh, a couple hours longer when everything else was done, it was still
baking. Yeah. Yes, those things happen. Okay, soup burned on the bottom of the pan? Yeah, it can happen. So ladies, can you kind of feel a little bit of what Martha's feeling here? Now, okay, this is a men question here. How many people were coming to her house? Now think about that for a minute. How many might been there?
Could have been all the disciples.
Okay, so how many that have been? 12 plus Jesus is what? 13? Mary, Martha, and who else? Lazarus. So how many people could have been there? 15 or 16?
16.
That's a lot of people. Does thou not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? A little overwhelmed here. Okay. Now, I kind of get the sense here Martha was one that kind of made things happen. She invited. She got the meal going. She's on top of it. That kind of that personality is kind of a doer type person. You know, I can kind of see that she's kind of making the things happen here. And she's kind of looking over things. And Mary, get with the program here. You're not with the program. I got all these people to feed. Do you see that there? I kind of see that a little bit. But what does she say to the Lord here? Does thou not what? Care. Now, what is she kind of inferring there? And who's that directed at? One, to the Lord, and also toward who? Yeah, Mary. Yes, Mary, that Mary. And so she's kind of like, one, two, you know, Lord, do you care? Does Mary care? Left me what? Alone. Now, her focus, what do you say Martha's focus was at that moment? She was very focused on what? Okay, serving, preparing the food. Would you say she was a need meter? Now, some people are a need meter. If you have a need, they want to meet that need. They're a need meter. And in a woman's heart, what do you call that? Women are what? God has made them what? Nurturers. They're nurturers of life. If somebody's hungry and you're a need meter, what does your need meter start dinging?
I gotta cook.
I gotta feed them. And it just resonates with you. It's just who you are. It's like a flashing light. That it has all your attention because that's where you're wired up. That's how you're wired up. Very focused that everybody should get on her agenda and see it the way she sees it, because that's how she sees life. That's Martha. Well, let's look at Mary here for a moment. 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, now he just said to her, does you care? Verse 41, Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art worried, careful, anxious. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, do people have a to-do list in their mind? Do you walk around with your to-do list in your mind just dinging at you? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, somebody said there's certain kinds of people in the world. People that make things happen, people that don't know what's happening, and people that things happen to. Okay? There's those kind of people. But for those that know what's happening, they have that constant to-do list dinging in their mind. And I think Martha had that to-do list just going off all the time. I got to get this done. You are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that. What's those next two words? Good what? Good part. Now, Mary has chosen the good part. Now, we've got many choices we can make here in life. Now, I thought it was interesting. I'd like you to... Now, where was Mary at this time in verse 39? And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at whose feet? Jesus' feet. I want you to look at something. I don't know if you've ever seen this before about Mary. Turn to John chapter 11. And look at verse 32. Now, in Luke 10, Mary's at Jesus' feet. In John 11, 32, then Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, and she fell down at his what? At his feet again, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Now turn over to John chapter 12, again about Mary. And verse 3, John 12, 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the, what? The feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. What did you pick up in all those verses? Where was she always at? At his feet. Now, think this through for a minute. Being at the feet of Jesus means what? What does it mean to be at the feet of Jesus? Okay, be humble, be serving. Okay, anything else? To be at the feet of Jesus means what? Be close to him. Yes, to be close to him. Yes, did you say worship? I was thinking of that. Worship. Now, what is worship? Worship is just acknowledging who God is, giving back to him. Worship is giving worth to God. You're giving back to him. What does God deserve? Adoration? What else? What's God worth? What do we give back to God? What do they give in Revelation back to God? Praise. Thanksgiving? Praise? Okay, right, to thank him. Glory and honor, power and dominion, what? Belongeth unto thee. We're giving back to God what he deserves. When you worship God, you're giving back to him what he deserves. When you're at Jesus' feet, what is Mary giving of herself? She's giving herself at his presence. Devotion, yes, and worship. Does God seek people to worship him? He does. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in the spirit and truth. He's a seeker of those to worship him. So God is seeking. So for Mary here, what's interesting, you always find her at his feet. Is that a good place to be, at his feet? Is that a good place to be? It is. It is. Now, now look through here in Luke 10. Martha, Martha, thou art worried and troubled about many things. That to-do list, ding, 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 ding. Serving, ding, 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 ding. I got to get stuff done, ding, 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 ding. All time dinging. But look, verse 42. Well, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. What's the good part? What does that mean, that good part? What did she choose?
Spend time with him.
To spend time with him. Now, how do you get close to Jesus? How do you get close to him? Do you want to be close to him? How do you get close to him? You spend time with him. Okay. Okay, just a prayer away. Does God encourage us to go into our prayer closets? Okay. Now, if you're in your prayer closet, how can you draw near to God when you're in your prayer closet? How can you draw near to him? Okay, meditating. Do you ever just sing to him? Do you ever just sing songs to him in your prayer time? You can just worship God. Sometimes it's easy for us to get our to-do list or our prayer requests out to God and boom, 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 go, and that's all fine. Come boldly for, yes. But there's sometimes we just worship him for who he is. We just sing songs to him and give him glory and adoration for who he is. And I think Mary had that inner circle part where she drew near to God. Now, what did she do in John 12? What in John 12, when she was at his feet, what was she doing at that point?
In verse 3 of John 12,
she anointed his what? Feet. okay, wiped her hair, okay. That ointment, was that cheap or expensive? Very. So what was that in her heart to her was an act of what? Devotion, worship. How much was God worth to her? She wanted to anoint his feet for burial. I mean, although I don't know if she understood everything. I think God, because she was in his presence, just had her move down this road. And I think he used her in a way. Maybe she did not have any understanding of the implication. But she knew her Lord, and she just wanted to worship him and anoint him. But it was very costly because Simon, Judas Iscariot rather, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? That's almost a year's wages, and given to the poor. So her devotion, now, think this through, in Judas's eyes, was that act of worship foolish? It was very foolish, because it all depends on your act of love. If Jesus was worth more than anything to her, then no sacrifice is too what? Too great. But if Jesus isn't worth much to you, then this act of worship seems very what? Foolish. Why do you do that? Well, back over in Luke 10, this one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And we need to see that if we want to draw close to Jesus, it's in our private communion time we're at his feet. Now, I'm going to share something with you. And I've shared this before, but I don't share it too often. But sometimes in my mind, now, we've all seen faces of Jesus, okay, but do we really know what he looks like? No, we don't know what he looks like. But sometimes in my prayer time, when I'm bowed and just praying to God, sometimes I just imagine feet in front of me, okay? Do you know what I'm saying? That's all I see is just feet, because in my mind, I'm trying to create that atmosphere that I'm at his feet. Now, I can imagine what feet look like and, you know, 10 toes or whatever. To me, it's a humbling way that I'm at his feet. And in my spirit's eyes, I want to create that atmosphere for me that I'm worshiping him. And Jesus told Martha, who had this agenda, she's a busy person, got to get this stuff done, got to get the food out, you know, and all this. But one thing's needful, and that shall not be taken away from Mary. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Hearing, and what, when she was sitting there, what was she hearing in verse 39? Hearing his what? His word. So, how do you get your gas tank filled up when you're spiritually depleted? How do you get your gas tank when you're spiritually depleted filled up? You're at his feet, you're hearing his word, and you're worshiping. Those things will fill you up on the inside. Because sometimes, do you get depleted spiritually? I've been there. And I think if we're all honest, we can say we've been there, depleted spiritually. But it's those times. Now, given that framework, how important is your devotional life? How important is that?
Very important.
Very. It's our lifeline, our devotional life. If you neglect your devotional life, you're setting yourself up for some struggles you might not have to go through. I think for Mary, she was at Jesus' feet. So this coming week, there's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday back again. We have this time we can spend with God. Now, if you don't guard your prayer life and your devotional life, who's going to guard it for you?
Nobody's
going to guard it for you. You have to be the keeper of that. And sometimes if life gets too busy, and life can get busy. Moms, when you had little kids in the house, was your life busy? We know that, don't we? You know, Nancy and I, we've been there. We know that. And it's hard. So, Nancy, share a little bit what you did to have your prayer life. No? Yes? Maybe. I shouldn't have done that. Guys, don't put your wife on the spot. I'll hear about it later.
I had a quiet hour every day, and that was my time, and the kids would all go to their own rooms, and if they shared a room, they'd go to their own spaces, and they were to be quiet and find something to do to keep themselves entertained, and that was my time to listen to Elizabeth Elliot for 15 minutes and to spend in prayer and Bible reading.
All right. Is that strategic planning? Because if she didn't plan that, would that have happened? It wouldn't have happened. And I think for Martha here, we can learn, guard your times of worshiping God at his feet. Because if you don't guard it, it's not going to happen. And we need that. Because why do we want to dry up spiritually? What good does that do us? It doesn't do us any good spiritually. And we need to keep that constant inflow of God's word and God's presence in our life. Because Jesus said, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that what? Good part. And you guard that time in your life, that's a good part you're guarding. You guard that, and you make it happen and work. Which shall not be taken away from her. And so here we can see different personalities. But the one thing, now, in this passage here, what was the urgent thing happening in verse 38 through 42 for Martha? What was the urgent thing? Okay, get the food done. Was that urgent?
Yes.
That was urgent. What's the important thing? Spending time at his feet. Now, we always have the urgent fighting against what? The important. We always have that tension there. The urgent things always crowd out the importance. You have to be ever so wise that you keep the important things where they need to be and don't let the urgent crowd them out because it can happen so easily. And, Does anybody have any insights in verses 38 through 42? Any thoughts about Mary and Martha?
Well, if Martha had just sat at Jesus' feet too, what would have happened?
Okay.
Jesus would have had to do a miracle.
I thought about that. I did. I thought, well, he could just do like the coals and the fishes on John 21. Boom, they're right there. Yeah, you feed the 5,000. Oh, what do you got here, a basket or whatever? Okay, boom, 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 boom. Everybody eat here tonight. So he could have it. I was thinking about that. Okay. That's a good thought.
She was all worried about preparing for her guests. Probably wouldn't even have to eat. Everybody would have just sat there and just worshiped Jesus.
Sure. Jesus said in John 4, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Sometimes spiritual food is more important than our physical food. Yes, Kurt.
I think this all happened just the way it's supposed to happen. More than that, because look at the lesson.
Okay.
The lesson's there because everything happened the way it was.
Yes, that's right. Yes. And that's why it's given for us, for our encouragement and exhortation. Yes. Okay, good. Yes.
I think it's kind of crazy she went right to Jesus to have a complaint. Like, that's the last thing I would do if I was like, mad at my sister. Go, like, to the guest and be like, can you tell her?
That's right. Peter, go tell her, you know.
Right. Yeah.
That's a good insight there. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Back to prayer and worship. You mentioned you pictured his feet. Years ago when I was just a young teenager, somehow I got a gospel track into my hand, and it was an amazing track. I kept it for years, and I'm sure it's in my house somewhere. I cannot find it for the life of me. And I've shared this numerous times with my Sunday school kids and what it is to pray and to picture in your mind and coming before him and try to get them into that mindset when we pray who we're talking to. But if you could just picture in your head, it's an awesome picture in the front of this gospel track of Jesus sitting in a chair and there's a man in a suit on his knees just bowing at his lap. And so it's a good picture, and I picture that at times when I'm praying and literally coming before him. In reality, he's, we can't see him, but in my mind, it's like he literally is there.
Yes.
And because he is holy, and, you know, I try to get that picture in the kids' head, but it's in my head. I've had that since I was a kid. And it's just an amazing picture. Mm. I wish I had it. I cannot find it.
Sure. But you got it in your heart.
Yeah.
Right, yes. So, but that's good. I mean, it helps us visualize that and just gives that connecting. Yes. Good. Anything else? Any other insights on this passage?
I was thinking the same thing that it's... Oh, go ahead, Fred.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking the same thing that, Kurt, you put it real succinctly, but it's the way it was, and my priorities are not everybody else's priorities.
Okay, yes.
And so understanding that, yeah, somebody had to take care of the preparations, and so if that was Martha's lot to do, you do it with grace and humility. And but I don't want to come between, when I'm doing something, I don't want to be the barrier for somebody to receive the blessing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, while I'm busy doing something else, if I'm in the kitchen and everybody else is fellowshipping, that's fine with me, because that should make me happy to know that there's a blessing being bestowed.
Yes.
There.
Right.
I guess that's the easy way to say it.
Yes. And sometimes if we labor harder so others can get the blessing,
right,
does God forget our work and labor of love that we've shown toward others? He sees our sacrifices, and He can reward us. Even though we may miss that immediate blessing, eternally we can be blessed because He will reward us for our sacrifices so others can be blessed. Yes, Fred.
Well, I'd say when you brought up the prayer closet and you said singing it, Pastor, if I sung it, the guys would run out the door. But I do talk to him.
Sure.
Like I'm talking to my brothers or my father.
Yes.
I just talk to him.
Yes.
And I listen for answers.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I can't tell you, but somehow I hear.
Yes, right. The inward witness of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. The Spirit can bear witness with our spirit and just helps us through our time. Yes. Good thoughts. So, all righty. Well, let's close in prayer, and then Bob, you can take some requests for us. Dear Lord, thank you for what we looked at here tonight. And Father, I pray that each of us be worshipers and draw near to you. And Lord, you're a good and gracious God. And Father, sometimes we can find ourselves like Martha, burdened down with the urgent things, but missing the most important thing. And I thank you that Martha was a server, and God, that she was busy and trying to meet people's needs. But Lord, I pray that each of us would carve out some time that, Lord, that we wouldn't be serving and forgetting the Savior. And Lord, I pray that you bless us. Since Martha was always at the feet of Jesus, I pray that each of us this week, each day, we'd have time with you in your presence. And we know, Lord, we would be eternally blessed for those times we spend with thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.